If you and I go to the southwest or southwestern corner of the United States, 132 miles southeast of Los Angeles, you'll discover a very large metropolitan city. It's a city that lays with a landlocked bay. It's a city that we call San Diego, California. And in that city, you'll discover there's all kind of many attractions there. You and I, if we have time, we can go to the Arts Center. We can go to all the institutes over there and all the museums. But if we make our journey there, 132 miles southeast of Los Angeles, you and I can have the privilege of going to what opened there in 1972, which became the world's largest zoo. 1,800 acres of land. 100 different kinds of flowers and trees is located on this large, large zoo. 5,500 different species or different animals and 800 different species of animals. And you and I could spend an entire day walking through the streets of that zoo. We'll stop and admire the bears at a distance. We'll stop and look at the giraffes with their long necks. And we'll stop and look at the elephants and stand there in amazement as we do so. Then you and I will continue to walk and we'll finally come down to the cat family cage. And on the inside of that cage is a lion. 500-pound lion. 30 teeth. A lion. A lion that can eat 30% of its own body weight within one sitting. A lion. A lion that is able, if need to be, to tear you absolutely from limb to limb. And we stand back at a distance and look at that lion in that cage. And we look up over the top of the cage and they have this sign that says, King of Beasts. The lion. Now even the best, the best and the most trained men and women fear when they go in the lion's cage, for they never know what kind of mood he may be in. And if I ask you as we stand there and look into that cage, would you go in there? You'd say, there's no way I'll go in there. I'm not that dumb. He looks like he's hungry and he could tear me apart. I'm not going in the cage. But do you realize, church, that you and I are facing an adversary that's just as bad as that lion in that cage?
Amen.
You understand the Bible talks about the adversary, the old adversary himself that we call the devil. And you realize that the devil is having his heyday in our world today. You realize that the devil is having a heyday in our country today. You realize is having a heyday in our state today. And do you realize that the devil is having a heyday in our church today?
Amen.
I think, listen to me, I think it's high time that we claim the church of the Lord Jesus Christ back from the devil and tell the devil to leave us alone. Church, and we ought to claim that every time we come in these walls, it doesn't just apply to our body, says this, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And when we gather in this place, yeah, the devil may come in, but I've got news for you. Greater is he that is among us than he that is in the world. And every time we gather, the Lord Jesus Christ is our invited guest. Every time we gather, we don't want the devil here. Why? He might nail and doom somebody to hell. And so I think at Cedar Grove this morning, on the first Sunday of August, we are to say that we're sick and tired of the devil, and we want to see Jesus back in work again.
Amen.
Oh, I'll tell you, he's alive and well. Oh, Peter warns us about this line in 1 Peter chapter number 5. Now, would you look at some simple things today? If I read the chapter, or I want you to think back why Peter's so adamant about this thing. You remember when in the garden, when Christ was carried away and the maiden looked at Peter and said, this man was with Jesus. And Peter said, no, wasn't me. And three times he said that. Peter knew how easy it was to fall in the trap of the adversary. And now he is concerned for the people in Rome that they don't fall into the wooing power of the devil. And so he starts out the chapter and he says this. He says to the young elders, he said, always feed and shepherd the flock.
Amen.
He said, always feed the flock. Always feed the flock. Always feed the flock. And then he said, he told the young men to submit to the elders and learn from them. He said, listen guys, always preach and feed the flock. And you younger guys, learn from the older guys who know the Lord and know what it's all about.
Amen.
And then he dropped down to this. Verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Oh, listen, even though we are believers, our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you ever, ever, ever take your eyes off of the devil.
Amen. Come on.
Forever. For every time God does something good, the devil can't stand it. We watched in the life of our churches, people were coming in, a lot of folks came to know Christ, and people were joining our church, and then all of a sudden, the devil can't stand it when something good's going on. He warns us some of things about this evil. He warns us about the aggressiveness of evil. No church, no child of God is free from the devil.
Amen.
I'll tell you why. Let me explain to you why. We've got to recognize him. He is a person. Do you know in a recent survey of 1,500 ministers that they asked, was the devil a real person? And only 65% of them said that he's real. I'll tell you what's happening. The devil has shot us such a lie that we don't think he is real. Can I remind you, the devil is alive and well.
Amen.
And the devil's at work. Now how does he work? He uses people. He uses me. He uses you. You say, well, if you've been saved, the devil can't use you. Oh, yes, he can. You can be saved. Now, listen to me. If you're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't be possessed by the devil. No, for Christ lives in your heart, but you can be controlled by the devil.
Yeah.
Our thoughts, our thinking, our living, everything about us can be controlled by the devil. I want you to understand, we never recognize him as a real person. He is here this morning until perhaps when I pray my prayer and ask God to bind him from him, from this place. The devil is a real person. And he uses us to accomplish his will. Now the thing about that is this. He knows he can't get our soul. So the second thing he wants to do is make us miserable and use us to tear down the work of God. He's a real person. So I don't care what those 1,500 ministers say. Can I tell you this? He is a real person.
Amen.
And when he gets us thinking there's no devil, he's got us. He's got us. People say, well, you know, the day I got saved, I've never had any other problems with the devil. Oh, something happened. I don't know that you got saved. For if you get saved and you get filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to be wronged by the devil. He is a real person. He may whisper in your ear and say, I'm a figment of your imagination. But he's lying to you, isn't he? He's just as real today as he was to Adam.
That's right.
He's just as real today as he was to Job.
Amen.
And he's just as real today as he was to Judas.
Right.
And Judas couldn't stand what he had done and went and took his life. He's a real person. I'll tell you, since he's a real person, I should not allow the devil to use me when I have been bought by a price with the red flowing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you should want the devil to use you when you've been bought with a price for the red flowing blood of the
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's a person. Second of all, he is a pretender. He'll tell you everything's good. How in the world? Why do you think so many people are hooked on alcohol and drugs today? Oh, no. The devil with a little red suit and a pitchfork didn't pretend to be something he wasn't. Oh, that's not the picture of the devil. No, he pretty things up. Well, if you'll stand with me, we'll do this. We'll take care of that. We can do this. There's a lot of families today without a loved one because of the devil.
Amen.
You know something? When he tells you you're no good to God, you tell him that he's lying.
Amen.
When he tells you that God can't use you, you tell him that he's lying.
Amen. Come on, brother.
When he says to you, God has been defeated, you tell him he's lying.
Amen.
And when he says the better days for City Grove are over, you tell the devil that he's lying.
Amen.
Because if you don't tell the devil that, and you begin to listen to the lies and the fallacies of the devil, I've got news for you. He'll destroy us, he'll destroy you, and he'll defame the Lord Jesus Christ.
Come on.
He is a pretender.
Preach, brother.
You better recognize him. Well, the second thing is, you better respect him. Now, I don't mean that we're going to bow down and worship. I know people worship the devil. I can carry you to some places where I used to pastor where they said that some of the youth were involved in satanic worship and they had a pit dug and all this. And I know that. And there's a lot of satanic churches. And that's not what I'm saying. But you better respect who the devil really is.
Amen.
It's like this older lady who never spoke ill of anybody. I mean, she just didn't say anything about anybody that was false. She just thought everybody was good and she wasn't going to be a part of any kind of bad flame and nothing of that stuff. And a friend told her one time, said, I believe you'd say something good about the devil. And the lady stood there a moment and said, well, you know, you have to admire his persistence. He never gives up. Is anybody in this room, listen to me very carefully, have you felt like that the devil is constantly on your heels?
Amen. Amen, brother.
That's what he's got. That's what he's supposed to do. We get mad at the devil, but I'll tell you, we're getting mad at the wrong person. We're getting mad at ourselves that we let the devil get us down.
Amen. That's right.
You know something? We respect his power. Don't underestimate the devil's power. Don't underestimate the devil's power. Satan is a dangerous enemy. He's a serpent. He'll bite us when we least expect it. He has great power. I'll tell you one thing. The devil still cringes under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk on this platform, Brother Tim, and we walk on this platform, and we begin to sing his boots. And you say, how do we get him shaken? I'll tell you how we know. Because it starts to come out when the devil gets mad. And let me give you a little secret. He hates our Christ. And he hates our church. He hates Christ. You say, why? Because on Calvary, he mustered up every force that he could to kill Christ. And Christ died. But let me remind you of this. Christ would have never died if God the Father hadn't told him to. So he cringes at the pie. Have you ever been at the zoo at the feeding time? And you hear all those animals all over that zoo? And you hear that lion that lets out a roar to remind you that he's hungry? I tell you something today, the devil is roaring, seeking. He's roaring and seeking. He's roaring as a lion. It didn't say in this verse that he's tearing us to pieces. He don't have to. All he has to do is roar, and it gets people's attention.
Amen.
Now why does he roar? He roars to create fear. When he lets out that roar and it rattles the cage that he's in, people don't want to get near the cage. The devil wants to roar to frighten us that we can't do anything. I want you to understand something. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God.
Amen.
So he roars. And then he roars also to let people know, here I am. It's a pride thing. I am the king of the jungle. It's me. The devil roars in our churches to try to say that he is here. He is real. He is at work. And can I remind you, let him roar all he wants to. I'll tell you what we better start doing is quit listening to the roar of the lion and listen to the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
All church. Cedar Grove don't belong to you and it don't belong to me. It don't even belong to the devil. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil wants it to belong to him. And I've got news for you. As long as Jesus lives and Jesus lives in us, we ought not ever turn the church over to the devil.
Amen.
People want to worship the devil. They ought to go and find them a satanic church and bow down and worship the devil. I think we ought to bow up today and stand up and say, greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And we ought to stand up and say, when he says, I am the same yesterday and today and forever. And we ought to stand up and say, devil, devil, let me remind you, you've already been defeated. And there's a place prepared for you that one of these days you're going to be cast into.
Amen.
Well, I remind us that it ain't about a pride thing. I'll honestly tell you right now, I am absolutely nothing apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll still tell you, I'm an absolute nothing, even with the Lord Jesus Christ. But aren't you glad that Jesus tries to use nothings to help other nothings come what he wants them to be?
Amen.
Then he also roars to say, this is my territory. Don't you come around this stage up here. Don't you come around this stage up here. There's a lot of churches that are half empty today in our sanctuaries. Not because they have a lot of bad people, no. But because a lot of people listen to the devil when he said, this place belongs to me. I want you to understand something. The church doesn't belong to the devil. My home doesn't belong to the devil. This state don't have to belong to the devil. This nation doesn't have to belong to the devil. And I'm going to make a rare, hard statement that you may not believe. Even the White House of this nation doesn't have to belong to the devil.
Amen. Amen. Right?
Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ owns
everything?
Then the lion roars and try to intimidate the other animals. Well, let me remind you, we better respect his power. For something told out of context can destroy somebody. Half-truths can destroy somebody. rumors and accusations about Schwarzenegger. And the lost people, oh, listen, it doesn't just bother the church people. The lost people is the ones that we ought to worry about. But they sit out there and say, why in the world do I need Jesus? If that's the way Jesus folks act.
That's right.
And when it's so hard, if we got future leaders in our church, when it comes to our youth and children, remind yourself that every time that we do something wrong, including me, every time that we do something wrong, it's devastating to them because we're giving them a double standard. Come on, brother.
Amen.
We're going to respect his power.
Right.
His spiritual life. He's thirsty. He's hungry. He's big. He's ugly. He's bad. And he wants to bring us down. And the only way we'll overcome this enemy, I'm going to tell you in a moment, but the only way we're going to overcome this enemy is when all of us, every single one of us, including this pastor, say that we're tired of the devil using us.
Amen.
And we want God to become the first place like he used to.
Amen.
What about his performance? The Bible said, verse 8, that he walketh around. We know what that means. He's prowling around. Just looking what he can find. Just looking what he can find. He's a liar. He's aggressive. He's lying. He's awake. He's doing some things right now. He's in some of your thoughts right now. You're saying, hey, he ain't talking to me. He's talking to everybody else. He sure he's preaching good to himself. He ain't preaching to me. Do you know something that was scary? Those people that don't believe that there is a real devil are the same folks who don't believe there's a real hell. There's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of church folks one of these days that there is a real devil. And there is a real hell.
Amen, right? Amen. Preach right.
He's risked. Peter said, guys, ladies, you better watch your back. For behind you is a lion. And you can't run fast enough to get away from that lion. He's always aggressive. But then in verse 9, he tells us what we do. He said, to whom? Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, he not only talks about the aggressiveness of Satan, but he talks about the alertness of the saints. Here's what he said. Be sober. Keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open. Don't be too thirsty for money. Don't be too thirsty for the pleasures of the world. Don't be too thirsty for your own way. He said, be sober. If you're not sober, you will fall into the devil's trap.
Amen. Amen.
If you're in the sanctuary today, you love things in this world more than you love God, you're in his trap. If you're in the sanctuary today and you're more concerned about getting your way than God's way, you're in his trap.
Amen.
Can I remind you, even me, God's will be done with or without me.
That's right. Amen.
And God's will for this church will be done with or without you.
Amen.
Amen. He said, be sober. Stay awake. Stay alert. Stay alert. Stay alert. Who is it that don't want you to pray? The devil. You know why? Well, if we call our church into a major prayer meeting, we begin to pray for one another, we pray, cast the devil out, you know what the devil's going to do? He's going to be after us. He doesn't want that to happen because he thinks he's got a foot in the door and he's got his body in the door. Can I tell you something? Every time the devil sticks his foot in the door, Lord will slam the door on his foot.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Be sober. Stay away. Maybe I went to sleep. Maybe I've gone to sleep. Maybe you've gone to sleep. Better set the alarm and wake us up.
Amen.
There's a preacher who's preaching now in Union, Melvin Shelton, who was a dear friend of mine when I was in Fruitland. And I would bring him home with me. He was over the dorms there. He'd come, and I was pastoring, and he'd come and stay at my house. And instead of staying up there, he'd ride home with me, stay with me. Melvin and his family became very close to us, and so he'd come home with us. I never forget, he Melvin was asleep, and we had this alarm clock that sang. I mean, it would rattle. You know how this bell rings in here when we ring it in between trucking union and stuff? It would just sound off. I never forget that morning that thing went off a little bit earlier than what it should. And Melvin coming back, Richard Melvin getting in there, and he says, "Ron," he said, "you know what?" He said, "I scraped myself literally off the ceiling when that thing went off. I was hanging on the light. I've never heard such a racket in all your life." Let me tell you something. It's time that the bell rung and woke us up.
Amen.
So, he said, always be seeking, be vigilant. Always be seeking. Never go to sleep. Those of us who are awake, we promise God's protection. God can't protect us if we're awake.
Right.
The reason that people slip off into adultery is because they drop their guard. The reason that people are alcoholics today is because they drop their guard. You know something? The reason people fall out of church today is because they drop their guard. And the devil sees an open door, and the devil jumps off.
Amen.
If you go to sleep on Jesus, you are a sitting duck. For the devil.
Amen.
Stay awake, church. Could it be that I went to sleep? Could it be that you went to sleep? And the devil saw an open window and he climbed through the window. And I'll tell you one thing. There's enough of us if we wanted to. We don't have to throw him out the window. We can open the front doors and throw him out.
Amen. Amen.
Be seeking, we've got to stay awake, be sober, be seeking. Then he says this, and that goes, be steadfast. Steadfast leads to resistance. It says resist him. Tell him no. How do you do that? Faith in God. Faith in God. Faith in God. If God can walk in fire first with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he can walk with you and me.
Amen.
If God can walk in that lion's den or that lion that can tear you up in one setting, like I just told you about, and be there and them not hurt Daniel, God can take care of you.
Amen.
If God can set a bush on fire and that bush never burn up, and God speaks to that bush, he can take care of us. Just have faith in God.
Amen.
Don't put any faith in wrong. Put your faith in God. I'll say this, I don't mean any disrespect. Don't put any faith in our Sunday school people. Put your faith, first of all, in God. Him will tell you the same thing. Don't put your faith in him. Put your faith in his God.
Amen.
We'll let you down. But I'll tell you one that will never let you down. That is God himself.
Amen.
Hey, and I can listen, I know a lot of you don't like it. And I'll never say it. But could you not at least say amen to the fact that God's never let us down?
Amen.
You think he's going to let us down, man?
No.
We'll just have resistance. Cowards become the losers. When you cower down to the devil, you become a loser. And then steadfast leads to remembrance. You remember that you're not the only one who's going through troubles and temptations. Some just live to tell about it because their faith is stronger than others. But steadfast. Think back to the Daniels. Think back to the Pauls. Think back to the Peters. Think back to all those people who stood firm. Let me remind you something. God came out the winner.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad that you and I have the rest of the book and we know what's going to happen to the dead?
Amen. Amen.